The Minchas Chinuch quotes from Yosefon that Yehuda HaMakabi had the status of a Mashuach Muhammad. And he raises, and the Mashuach Muhammad has a special mitzvah to read the Parsha to the soldiers before they go to war. The first half of the Parsha encourages the soldiers to be strong and to be happy talking in their Ribono Shel Olam. And then the other half of the Parsha lists off which soldiers are exempt from going to war. So in the book of Chashmonaim, it also says, just like it says in Yosefon, that Yehuda HaMakabi had the status of a Mashuach Muhammad, and he recited this parsha. So the Minchas Chinuch raises the problem that the Mishnah tells us, the Psukim say in Divrei Hayomim, that Yoshio HaMelech, towards the end of the period of the Bayis Rishon, was Gonis and Shemen HaMishcha. During the whole period of the Bayis Sheni, there was no Shemen HaMishcha. They didn't have it at all, it wasn't available. How did they appoint Kohanim Gedolim? When you appoint a Kohen Gadol, you have to have Shemen HaMishcha. So the Gemara explains that there's another route to endow a Kohen Gadol with his special status of Kedusha by Merubah Begodim, by wearing the Shemayna Begodim, because the Kohen Gadol does avoid on Beis HaMikdash with an eight-piece uniform. Instead of Dalit Begodim that a Kohen Hedyek wears, the Kohen Gadol wears Shemayna Begodim. But the Mashuach Muhammad, the Gemara says, Beferish in Yuma, here in the Marmikaimus, the fifth of the Marmikaimus, and the fourth of the Marmikaimus, the Braisa lists off, Tanya, the Braisa lists off all the special deans that a Kohen Gadol has that a Kohen Hedyo does not have. And then it mentions which of these deanim of the Kohen Gadol applied to the Mashuach Muhammad, which not. So it says five specific deanim, not including this din that you wear Shemayna B'Gadim. So the Mashuach Muhammad never wore Shemayna B'Gadim when it didn't avoid it. So it was impossible to have a Mashuach Muhammad during the period of the Bayis Sheni. So how can it say in the book of Chashmonaim, and in Yosefon here, the Minchas Chinuch is number 3 in the Marmikaimus, where he quotes from Yosefon, Perek Chof, that Yehuda HaMakabi had the status of Mashuach Muhammad. So the Minchas Chinuch suggests that maybe they only called him Mashuach Muhammad l'kovet bi'alma. Maybe he really didn't have the status of Mashuach Muhammad. Maybe it was all limitation. Ramosha Soloveitchik once delivered a talk here in the yeshiva at a Chagas Micha, which is published in Hapardis and was reprinted in this collection, Kovetz Chidush Torah, that has the previously published Divrei Torah from Rav Moshe Soloveitchik as well as Rabbi Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, where he had a different suggestion. The Kovne Rav had a suggestion based on the Gemara in Yuma, and Rav Moshe didn't agree. The Kovne Rav had a suggestion. The Gemara says in Yuma that true, the Kohen Mashuach Muhammad doesn't wear Shemayna B'Gadim when he does avoid on the Beis HaMikdosh, but on one occasion he does wear Shemayna B'Gadim when he's Nishal B'Urim Etumim. So maybe Yehuda HaMakabi put on the Shemayna B'Gadim and he would be Nishal B'Urim Etumim, and that way that would be Mechanachim, just like one who plans to become a Kohen Gadol, one who was appointed to become a Kohen Gadol, would wear the Shemayna B'Gadim and do an Avoidah, so the Mashuach Muhammad doesn't do Avoidah B'Shemayna B'Gadim. So he would wear the Shemayna B'Gadim just in order to be Nishal B'Urim Etumim. The problem with this is that we know that during the period of the Bayis Sheni, the Gemara says the Urim Tumim didn't answer. The Chashmonaim were 200 years, the victory of the Chashmonaim was 200 years before the end of the Bayis Sheni period. That was already 200-300 years into the Bayis Sheni. So they already knew for the last 300 years that the Urim Tumim is not answering. So it's like talking to the wall. What do you mean? He's going to wear the Shemayna B'Gadim and he's going to ask, should we go to war? And he knows in advance that the no answer is going to be forthcoming. So what kind of a shtick is this? So the Kovne Rav suggests that's the way they made him into a Kohen Gadol. That's the way they made him into a Mashuach Muhammad, by putting on the Shemayna B'Gadim and asking. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik thought that didn't make any sense. If you know that it's not going to answer, so it's not shaykh to ask the Urim Tumim. So he raises a question. He says the Gemara in Soito, Daf Mem Beis, comments on this pasuk on the institution of the Mashuach Muhammad. It says, "V'nigash ha-kohen v'diber al ha'om." Ha-kohen with a hey idea has to be a special kohen. A kohen hedyot is not acceptable. So the Gemara says, "Yochol." One might think that it means kohen gadol. So the Gemara says, "No, it doesn't mean kohen gadol." So he raises the question: how do you translate the words of the Gemara? Yochol. One might think that a kohen gadol is acceptable. Talmud Loima that a kohen gadol is not acceptable. You have to have dafke a person as nishkin kohen hedyot. Nishkin kohen gadol has to be the Mashuach Muhammad, who's something in between. He has some of the dinim like a kohen gadol, but not all the dinim. Is that what the Gemara means to say that a kohen gadol is possible for kriyas haparsha? It doesn't mean Yochel Kohen Gadol. One might think that you need Dafke the Kohen Gadol. You need someone who's on a higher level than a plain Kohen. Because it says, B'nigash HaKohen with a Hey Haidia. Has to be somebody special. So does it require Dafke the top man, the Kohen Gadol, Talmud Loma, the Gemara learns after my passing? It doesn't have to be the top man. If you have a Meshulch Muhammad who has part of the dinim of the Kohen Gadol, not all the dinim, that would also be okay. But if you have the Kohen Gadol B'chvod HaBiyatzman, that will certainly be okay. Yesh B'chama Simon. So he writes that he once asked his father, Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, this question. And he wasn't sure. He says his father wasn't sure. So this is the suggestion that he has. Maybe, if this is true, what it says in Yosef and what it says in Sefer Hashmonaim, that Yehuda HaMakbi had the status of a Meshulch Muhammad, maybe what it means is that they really made him a Kohen Gadol. You can have five Kohanim Gedolim at the same time, if need be. You can have a few people functioning as Kohen Gadol at the same time. When it comes to Yom Kippur, you only have one of them does the Seder HaVayda. But you can have a few people have Kedushas Kohen Gadol. So maybe they appointed Yehuda HaMakbi as a Kohen Gadol, full-fledged Kohen Gadol, with a Merubah B'Godim. He had the full status of a Kohen Gadol. But the only thing that he did as a Kohen Gadol was that he only functioned as the Mashuach Muhammad. There, Moshe Soloveitchik has a little bit of Derech Hadrash in his drasha that he delivered at the Chag HaSmicha in the yeshiva. So he says, so the Minchas Chinuch says that he was referred to as a Mashuach Muhammad Loshen Kovin. So he says, but according to my suggestion that it was really a Kohen Gadol, so wouldn't it be nicer to call him the Kohen Gadol? He's the top man, not just the Mashuach Muhammad who has some of the dinim of the Kohen Gadol, not all the dinim of the Kohen Gadol. It should say in Hashmonaim, and it should say in Yosifon, that Yehuda HaMakbi had the status of a Kohen Gadol, so he read the parsha. Why does it only say it had the status of a Mashuach Muhammad? So he suggests that we know that during the period of Baishen and the Kohanim Gadolim were not such tzaddikim. The Gemara says that they would bribe the government officials to allow them to be appointed Kohen Gadol. Some of them were very corrupt. The Mashuach Muhammad Zakta must have been a big tzaddik. Because he's preaching to the soldiers that they should have bitochen in their Ribbono Shel Olam. Who's talking to us? This baker who bought the position for a couple of dollars. And he's encouraged, and he tells the people, whoever did Averis should go back home. Who are you? You're nobody special. So he says, apparently the Mashuach Muhammad must have been an Odom Tzonua, a tzaddik, who had a very good reputation. So if you want to speak about Yehuda HaMakabi as an Odom Chashuv, it's a higher title to call him, even if you should assume by Kishtikol Torah, that he wasn't really a Mashuach Muhammad. There was no Shemin HaMishcha. You can't make a Mashuach Muhammad by a shade. He must have been made a Kohen Gadol. A Yesh B'chal Masayim Oneh, so whoever has a higher level of Kedushas Kuna, something higher than a plain old Kohen Hedyot, either Mashuach Muhammad or Kohen Gadol, can recite the Parsha. So why is he only referred to as a Mashuach Muhammad? Because to do this job, you have to be a Mashuach Muhammad means a tzaddik and a baal yirah shamayim and a person with bitochen in order to encourage the soldiers that they should have bitochen, that whoever is a baal avera should go back home. So he must have been somebody unusual. This is a suggestion of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. The problem is, though, a bigger problem. There is a question, if you look in the Marmakaimus, the second of the Marmakaimus, the Rambam starts Perek Zayin in Hilchas Melochim, by writing Echem Lachemes or Mitzvah Vechem Lachemes or Shus Memanim Koine Daber Ha'om Vishas HaMachama, you appoint a Mashuach Machama to speak to the, to give the Musad Rosh to the soldiers, both in Lachemes Mitzvah and in Lachemes or Shus. And the Rabbin has a Hasage, he says it doesn't make any sense. The Mashuach Machama announces to the people the three exemptions, Mihu Isha She'er Asisha V'lo Lokacha, Mihu Isha Shabana Bais V'lo Hanacho, not take care of Elohilalo, and the Mishnah says in Saito, when it comes to a Mechemes Mitzvah, there are no exemptions. Everybody has to go to the war. So what do you have a Mashuach Muhammad recite the Parsha of Mechemes Mitzvah? It doesn't make sense. It should only make sense in a Mechemes Arishus. So the Rabbit writes, maybe, Efsha Liozeh, maybe what the Rama means is, with respect to the half of the Parsha. One half of the Parsha is the exemptions, those are Chozer Meyorchai Muhammad, and the other half of the Parsha is the pep talk, the Musa Shmuas, the Hashem Elokechem, Mesaf Bekar of Machanach, Lahatzilach, Velos Sevecha, Biyadecha, and so on. The Mashuach Muhammad gives them Chizuk, he gives them a drasha, they should have Bitochen. So only the Rabbit says he doesn't agree with the Rambam, he thinks that there is no Mashuach Muhammad in the Melchemes Mitzvah. But if it does make sense, it's only with respect to half of the Parsha. Why does the Rebbe think that it's what's wrong? So why shouldn't you have a Mashal Muhammad to recite half of the parsha? He's faremfering his kasha on the Rambam and he's not happy about it. Maybe the Rambam means with respect to that half of the parsha. Why isn't he happy with that suggestion? So apparently Rav Soloveitchik has which sefer? I think it's in this sefer. The Igros Agrid Alevi. When we learned Sanhedrin, he mentioned this. So he says, no, the din requires that the parashas Meshoch Nechama has to be read kichsavoy. You can't just say it over however you choose. You have to recite it the way it says in Chumash. So the pashtus is that kichsavoy should require that you should recite either the whole parsha or nothing at all. If you're going to leave out half of the parsha, you're going to leave out the exemptions, those are chazim, yocham, ochama. So even the half that you will say is not really called kichsavoy because it's missing the other half of the parsha. So this was what the Ravid was not so sure about. The Rambam himself in the Sefer HaMitzvot writes that there is no institution on Meshoch Nechama by Melchemes Mitzvah, as it says Beferish in the Gemara in Soita. What does it say Beferish? There is no Gemara in Soita. The Gemara in Soita only says that there are no exemptions. The Chozer Meyorcha Melchama doesn't apply by Melchemes Mitzvah, but it doesn't say that the Koyin Meshoch Nechama doesn't give the drasha with the Divrei Chizuk. Apparently the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvot held that it's either all or nothing. If you're not going to recite the whole parsha, even the half a parsha that you're going to recite is going to be considered shaloi kachsavai. Here the Rambam contradicts. The way we have the Rambam in Hilchus Malachmi contradicts what he wrote in Sefer HaMitzvot. Here he starts off Perek Zayin. Echem Melchemes Mitzvah, Echem Melchemes Hoshus, Meman and Koin Ledaber, Ha'am B'shas HaMelchama, that it applies even in Melchemes Mitzvah. So the Ravid is not happy about the Rama. He thinks really that it should be all or nothing. If you're going to say half a parasha, it's considered shalak yachsovay. But it's faremfering, maybe what the Rama meant to say was that you should say half of the parasha. Either half of the parasha will be shalak yachsovay. So maybe the Rama holds that since the other half doesn't apply to Melchemes Mitzvah, so maybe this is considered kichsovay. That's the question. So here, it's interesting, in the beginning of Rav Soloveitchik's career, he had very little Divrei Torah that were printed. So one of the few Divrei Torah he had is on this Rambam, about appointing a Meshoch Nechama Meshas Melchemes Mitzvah to recite the parasha. So Rav Zevin has a sefer, Ishim Mishitos, where he writes about different Gedolim. So he has a whole piece about Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. So at the end of the piece, he writes a little bit about Rav Elbala Soloveitchik and about the Rav, about Rav Yashiv Soloveitchik. So the only piece that he had available from the Rav was this piece, Amalchemes Mitzvah. So the Rav had a whole fantastic, it's also printed in this collection. In the end of this collection, they have this piece. So it's interesting, Rav Zevin, in his essay about the Rav, writes, oh, he follows the Brisker style, Tzvei Dinim, and he explains the Stira and the Rambam, and he gives a whole teretz, the style of Rav Chaim. So that Dvar Torah, Rav Soloveitchik backed out from. After it was printed, I think the president of the Agudas HaRabbanim, I think, was Rabbi Leventhal from Philadelphia. So this was published in a collection that was in his honor. I think he must have passed away. I don't know. It was Lizichroy. So after it was published, Rav Chaim Helles saw it, and he told the Rav that he thinks that it's not correct. And he told him to look in his edition of the Sefer HaMitzvot LaHarambam, where he writes that he thinks that there's a misprint here. If you take a look in the first of the Marmukaimus, this is the last halacha in Perek Vov. So the Rambam writes that there's a din yosati l'cho alazinecho v'hoya machanecho kodesh. So Rav Chaim Helles thought that the first line, number two, Echem Melchemes Mitzvah, Echem Melchemes Rishus, is really, should be the end of the sentence at the end of Perek Vav. When the Rambam quotes the Din, V'yosati l'cho alazinecho, Shenem b'vayim achanecha kodesh, so it should end off, Echem Melchemes Mitzvah, Echem Melchemes Rishus. And then Perek Zayin should begin with, M'man ikon l'daber ha'am b'shas melchama, that only goes b'shas melchemes Rishus, not b'shas melchemes Mitzvah. That's Rav Chaim Helles printed in his footnotes on the Sefer HaMitzvot LaHarambam. Lamaisa, they don't have any editions of the manuscripts of the Rambam that have like that. But the Rav was so kofuf to Rav Chaim Helles, so when he gave the Shiur Mount Sanhedrin, so he said he once thought this Shtikal Torah, the Rav Zevin thought was so gewaldic, and he writes that this is a real brisk. And then he said Rav Chaim Helles told him that it's wrong, so wrong is wrong. So he accepted Rav Chaim Helles' correction. There is another problem over here. We usually assume that the Melchemes of the Chashmonaim were Melchemes Mitzvah. No, they wanted to seize the government. There wasn't a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael at that time. So that constitutes a Mechemes Mitzvah. And the function of the government is the king in Eretz Yisrael is supposed to see to it that you have a Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash should bring a Karbonus LaShamayim, not LaVodah Zarah. So the whole Mechemes HaChashmonai we assume was a Mechemes Mitzvah. So that's another issue that the post can bring up. There's a question over here, Rambam would arrive it with Astir and the Rambam a question, whether on Mechemes Mitzvah you have the Kohen recite the Mashuch Muhammad recites the Parsha or not, the Mechemes HaChashmonaim was a Mechemes Mitzvah. And it says in HaChashmonaim and it says in Yosifon that he recited the whole Parsha with the exemptions, with the whole thing. So don't you see that even on Mechemes Mitzvah you read the whole Parsha, everything. We first discussed the issue, how could Yehuda HaMakkah be possibly be Moshe Muhammad? There wasn't a Shemin HaMishka. But now there's a bigger question. It was a Mechemes Mitzvah. So what is he doing reciting the whole Parsha with the exemptions and the whole story? So this is a problem. This is a problem. So there used to be a Talmud Chacham in St. Louis, Missouri, who learned by Rabbi Shimon Shkoch, Rabbi Tzvi Magenza. He used to be very friendly with Rabbi David Lifshitz. Whenever he would visit New York, he would visit Rabbi David, he would pop into the Beis Medrash and talk to the boys. So he has a sefer, Mogen Tzvi, all about Inyonei Meluche and Malchus HaChashmonaim and so on. These call it Inyonei Eretz Yisrael, Bizman HaZeh, Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, Medinas Eretz Yisrael, all of these interesting topics. So he raises this issue and he suggests a fantastic, startling idea that is a little bit shocking. You got to think about this to absorb it. He says, the premise sounds very good. He says, to say that you have a Mechemes Mitzvah, that everyone is mechuyev to participate in the war, only makes sense if you know in advance you're pretty sure that you're going to win the war. If you're not sure if you're going to win the war, then how can you tell people that they're mechuyev to go fight in a battle? There's no mitzvah to fight a losing battle. Sometimes there is a din, you have to give up your life. That's Yehoreg Bal Yavar. Okay, no, not to worship Avodah Zarah, Gilei Rashi V'Chasdamim. You have to fight a losing battle. That's a different thing. But we don't call that a Mechemes Mitzvah. So the Pashtus he says over here is, we say in Al Anisim, Asarta Giborim Yad Chalosh Mirabim Yad Miyatim, that when the Chashmonoim were fighting their battles, they thought they were going to lose. It was Nisim and Hashemayim that they won. So how can you consider this a Mechemes Mitzvah? If they knew in advance that they're going to lose, so there's no, you can't force people to go fight a war knowing in advance that you're going to lose. So he suggests that it was like the uprising in the Warsaw Ghetto, that all the Jews knew that they were going to be killed. So they figured, what should we just sit around and wait till we're going to die from starvation and get killed? May as well kill as many Nazis as possible. So they started throwing bombs at the Nazis. They knew it. They asked the Shaila. That's what they print. They say yes to Shiloh, Rav Menachem Zemba. Others deny it, and he said that they should, that they're permitted to make an uprising because they were going to lose their lives earlier. They were going to get killed earlier. Like this, they would live another day or two, and like this, they were going to lose their lives earlier. So they claim that they asked the Shiloh. He said that you may. So that's what Rabbi Magenza suggests, that maybe the Chashmonoim thought in advance that they were all going to get killed. Why are they going to get killed? Because they made up their minds they're not going to give in. It was a Shas Hashmad. They were pressuring them to do Avodah Zarah and to violate all the mitzvahs HaTorah. So if they'll violate all the mitzvahs HaTorah, so they'll survive. If they'll assimilate, they'll survive. But these people made up their mind they were religious. They're not going to give in to the pressure. The Din Istaki Yehari Bal Yavah, B'Shas Hashmad. So they knew that ultimately they were all going to get killed. So they all decided, let's go kill as many Nachrim as we can. They're giving us a hard time, like the Moshe Lamad Avadayim to the Warsaw Uprising. So he thinks that maybe you can't really consider this a Mechemes Mitzvah. Maybe this had the status of a Mechemes or a Shus. And therefore you have the whole Parsha of the Mashuach Muhammad reciting the whole Parsha from the beginning to the end. It's a very startling suggestion. You have to think about it to digest it, whether it's Nitan Lahayomer or not. This raises another question, though. If one should assume that the Melchamas of the Chashmonaim, the Melchamas, that we're going on for a few years, they didn't just go to battle and win right away. It took years and years. And for the first couple of years, they were losing. And then finally, in the end, they had Nisim and the Flores, and they won. So if one should really assume that the Mechemes that they were waging were really not labeled as Mechemes Mitzvah, they were really Mechemes or Rishus, So then you have another problem. The Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, Ein yotzei melachemes harshus, el al pi bezin shel shivim v'yechad v'al pi urim v'tumim. So there was no urim v'tumim in Baishin. Al pi nobim urim v'tumim, there was no urim v'tumim. So how did they go to battle? There was Sanhedrin. There was a Sanhedrin. So maybe the Sanhedrin gave them psak, like they say, Rabbi Menachem Zem, it gave permission to make the Warsaw Uprising. So maybe the Sanhedrin gave them permission also. But there was no urim v'tumim. So how did they have all the mechamas if everything was mechamas or rishus? So it's interesting the Rabbeinu Yonah's discussion. Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik in his Vatera in this sefer, and Hilchas Beis HaBchira quotes the Rabbeinu Yonah on Sanhedrin, and Daf Chof asks that kasha. All the mechamas in the Baisheni were all mechamas or rishus. He means the mechashmenoim was a mechamas or rishus mislam, because they knew in advance that they were all going to lose. So how did they go to war? So he says that din that you need urim v'tumim, you have to be nishal urim v'tumim. If the urim v'tumim is functioning, you have to ask, and if it says no, then you don't go to war. But if the urim v'tumim is not functioning, so the whole din of sheila urim v'tumim doesn't apply. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik suggests perhaps the same is true, just like the Rabbeinu Yonah answered with respect to going to war, melchemes harishus, that you need rishus from the urim v'tumim. If it's not functioning, so it's not miyakim. So he suggests perhaps the same is true regarding minui ha-melech. There is a big discussion regarding the chashmonai, whether they had the status of melech or not really. So the Ramban al-Chumash in Vayechi says that they had the status of a melech. They weren't from the Malchus Beis David. He says that was their iser. He says they were chassidei elyon, but they took the malchus for themselves, and this was a violation of the tzivoy hazaken, of the instruction of Yaakov Avinu. Lo yoseh shevet miyehuda, no other person from any other Shevet should seize the kingdom, and they were from Shevet Levi, they were Kohanim. So they were in violation of this din. So the Ramban is obviously assuming that they had the status of Melech. It was Stam, a prime minister or something. Stam running the government. So that's not the violation of Le'osah Shelechor, it's not a violation of Le'osah Shevet Mehuda. So the Shaila is, but the Pasuk says, in Parsha Shoftim, Sem Tosim Alech HaMelech HaShiv HaShem Alekecho. The melech has to be chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rambam quotes from the Sifreya, not Pasuk. The Rambam, Perek Aleph, in Luchas Malach, Malach Gimel, quotes from the Sifreya, not Pasuk, in Parsha Shoftim, that to appoint a melech, you have to have authorization from a Novi. So where do they have authorization from a Novi? The last three Nevi'im were Chagas Chai Malachi, 200-300 years before the story of the Chashmonai. So how did they have any melochim towards the end? The first 200 years or so, 200-300 years of the Baishan Attaka, were no Jewish melochim till the Chashmonai. So by the time the Chashmonaim came on the scene, there were no Nevi'im. So how do they appoint a Melech Bichlal? So that's what Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said. Mistami, you have to say the same as the Rabbeinu Yonah wrote on Sanhedrin. They're just like Urim V'Tumim is only Me'akev Melchemes Rishus. If it's functioning, if it's not functioning, there's no Urim V'Tumim. So then you don't need Urim V'Tumim. So Mistami, the same is true regarding Minui HaMelech. If you don't have any Novi, so then the Novi is not Likuva. The Sanhedrin will appoint the Melech. So then Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was bothered with a kasha that the Mishnah says in Shavuos, Ein Masifin al Huir, Val Azar, Asel, Al Pibezin, Shal Shivim Viechad, Val Pi Novi, Val Pi Urim Metumim, Val Pi Kohen Gadol, and so on. So the Gemara has a machlekes when you want to be Mekadish Yerushalayim, Mekadish Nemokam Azara, or to be Moisif al Huir, Val Azar, is to add additional areas to have Kedushas Yerushalayim and have Kedushas Azaras. So the Gemara has a machlekes. Do you need B'chol Advarim or B'achas Mikol Advarim? Do you need all of the above? Melech, Urim V'Tumim, and Novi, and Kohen Gadol, and Sanhedrin, you needed everything? Or is it sufficient if you have one of the above? So the Gemara has the discussion when Ezra came back and he rebuilt the second Beis HaMikdosh. So did he have to be Mekadoshit or not? So if he had to be Mekadoshit, if you say Kitchalasi Lavoi from the days of the Bais Rishon and retained its Kedusha, so there's no need to be Mekadosh the Bais Sheni all over again. Everything retained the Kedusha from before, then they can't add anything on. Amosifim, because if you need all of the above, they didn't have all of the above. Why didn't they have all of the above? So Rashi and the Rama said because the Urim V'Tumim wasn't functioning, so they couldn't have had all the above. But if you say that you don't need all of the above, Achas Mekol Eilatanan, if you have either the Melech, or the Novi, or the Urim V'Tumim, or the Sanhedrin, any one of them is sufficient, so then one could even assume that Lo Kitchelosi Lova, the Makam HaMikdush, didn't retain the Kedusha from the Tkufas Bais Rishon. Ezra had to be Mekadosh everything all over again, and you don't need the Urim V'Tumim. But the Gemara assumes, Rashi and the Rama both say Beferish, that if you hold, you need all of the things to be Mekadosh, One of them was Urim Tumim, and the Urim Tumim wasn't functioning, and by Sheni, so that would be missing. So Moshe Soloveitchik cracked Akasha, but the Rabbeinu Yonah solved the problem right at Tachshein Gezok, that whenever you only need an Urim Tumim, it's only Ma'akev when it's possible. When it's not functioning, when it's out of business, there is no Urim Tumim. So Kem and Bagein on them. So you can do everything without. You can go to Melchemes or Rishus without Urim Tumim, and you can be Mamad HaMelech without an Urim Tumim. So why can't you be Mekadesh Yerushalayim without an Urim Tumim? So he draws a distinction. This collection is unclear. That's how Chaim Soloveitchik points out in his introduction. It's unclear exactly whether these are by Rabbi Yoshe Be'er Soloveitchik or Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik, because they were written in Rabbi Yoshe Be'er's handwriting, but a lot of times Rabbi Moshe would dictate to him what he should write. So it's unclear whose Divrei Torah they are. So that's why it's called Chidush HaGram HaGrid together. So whoever said it, so they point out the following distinction, that the participation of the Sanhedrin, let's say, in Kiddush Yerushalayim, is not only that you need authorization from the Sanhedrin. The Gemara says they have to go actually do the Maaseh HaKiddush, they have to walk around and sing the Tehillim, and eat the Korban Toida and so on. They have to participate B'Poel Mamash. So he says he thinks that the same is true regarding the Urim Tumim. The Urim Tumim is not stam that you need Rishus from the Urim Tumim. The Urim Tumim is considered part of the Mekadesh. When you appoint the melech, so you need Alpi Novi, so you need Rishus for the Novi. If there's no Novi available, so you don't have to ask Rishus, you'll appoint the Sanhedrin will appoint the melech without Rishus for the Novi. When you want to go to Melchemes or Rishus, you have to have Rishus from the Urim Tumim. If there is no Urim Tumim, so you don't need Rishus, so you can wage a Melchemes or Rishus with permission from the Sanhedrin. But over here, the role of the Urim Tumim for the purpose of being Mekadesh Yerushalayim, it's not stam that you need Rishus from the Urim Tumim whether it's proper to do this or not. The Urim Tumim is considered part of the Mekadesh. So that's why if you didn't have Urim Tumim and you hold B'chol Leilu Tanan, you need all of the above to be Mekadesh Mokam HaMikdash, to be Mekadesh Yerushalayim. So then it was impossible for Ezra to be Mekadesh anew, unless one should assume that it was Kitchel Lossi Lava, the Kedusha was retained from the Tkufa of the Bais Rishon. And everything that it says in Ezra that they were Mekadesh, they didn't act of Kiddush, it was only make believe, it was only imitation, it wasn't for real. The explanation that Rav Moshe Soloveitchik gave as to how is it possible to have Yehuda HaMakabi as a Mashuach Mochama if there was no Shemin HaMishcha and Mashuach Mochama does not wear Shemoyne B'Gadim, so he suggested no, they made him into a Kohen Gadol and Yesh B'Chama Saimona, he had the full Kedushas Kuna G'dayla, so Memela he was able to recite the parasha. You don't need Dafke, a person who is a Mashuach Mochama. You need someone who has a higher level of Kedushas Kuhuna. So this is famous also in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik to explain another point. In the sixth of the Marmakaimus, you have the Ramban on Chumash. It happens that the Ramban is very famous, but it's really a quotation word for word from the Ravid. The Ravid in his commentary on the Torah Kohanim raises this question. When Nadav Avihu died, so their father was a Kohen Gadol, Aaron HaKohen, and the brothers, Elazar v'Isamar, were Kohanim Het Yoitim. So the din normally is that a Kohen Het Yoit is not only permitted to be Metame to the brother, he's obligated. We paskin lo yitame as a chayva. They're obligated to be Metame. So why did the Moshe Rabbeinu tell the cousins, Suas HaChech Me'ez Pnei HaKodesh, that Elazar v'Isamar are not permitted to be Metame to the Mason? Why not? They were Mechuyif to be Metame. Why did he insist that their cousins who were Levim, who were not Kohanim at all, should take out the Mason from the Hechel? So the Ramban HaChumash is quoting here from the Raivin. He often quotes from the Raivin, and the Mechamis also, a lot of times he's quoting big chunks from the Raivin, and he never tells you this. Apparently it was well known at the time that he wrote his Sefer. It was well known that he was quoting from the Raivin. So this is also from the Raivin. The Raivin has two suggestions. One suggestion, maybe he was only Hoirah Shoah, not to share the whole celebration of the Chanukah's HaMishkan at that occasion. Or he ends off the last two lines in number six, V'efshir, she is a koyimeim be'alazav isama. Maybe it's not only Hoirah Shoah during the Shivas Me'amiluim and the Yom HaShmini Lemiluim. Maybe it's the whole lifetime. Why? She is dinam kimashuach nochama. Why? Babosh shinim shechu b'shemen HaMishkan. And perhaps this is the pshat in the pasuk, v'yezetam. This is the pshat, kishemin mishkas Hashem aleichem. So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik explained what this probably means is the following, that the Gemara said in Yuma and Dafayin Gimel, that's the Gemara that we had in number 4, number 5 in the Marmar Kaimas, we have a whole list of dinim that apply to Kain Gadol that don't apply to Kain Hedyot. And then the Mashulch Muhammad has some of these dinim and not all of the dinim. So how do you explain why the Mashulch Muhammad has some dinim, not all of the dinim? So that's what they quote the name Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, that he said there are two aspects to being a Kain Gadol. One is this Kedushas Kunu Gedolah, and one is the Shem Kain Gadol. They appoint him with the title of Kain Gadol. And Tosis and Yuma Daf Yudbeis quotes in the Yerushalmi that the Kain Gadol is Mismana Bepeh, and he's Mistalek Bepeh. The same people who appoint him can fire him. There's a Mishnah in Horius, in the Gemara in Ksubis, in Irish and Espatz, in the fourth pair, talks about that Mishnah Horius, about firing the Kain Gadol. Kain Gadol, if he's Mechal Shabbos, has to bring a different kind of Achatos. He doesn't bring a regular Kizbo Asira. So the Mishnah discusses, what if he sinned, he was Mechal Shabbos B'Shogeg while he was a Kain Gadol, but he doesn't get to bring the carbon until after he was fired already. So what carbon is he miskapit? Does he have the din like a Kain Gadol because he did the Avera then? Or does he have the din like a Hedyot because he's coming to bring the carbon while he's a Hedyot? So Taisis quotes from the Yerushalmi, obviously whoever was Memanahin has the right to be Misalakin. He's Mismanah Bepeh, he's Mistalak Bepeh. So Rav Chaim showed from the Mishnah Nozir that that's only certain dinim of the Kain Gadol depend on Shem Kain Gadol and the Minui. Other dinim of the Kain Gadol depend on the Kedushas Kunu Gedolah. So the Kedushas Kunu Gedolah, that lasts forever. So how does one accomplish Kedushas Kunu Gedolah? So that's either Meshicha B'Shem and Amishcha is Mekadesh. Meshicha was Mekadesh all the clay, all the kelim in the Beis Hamikdash in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. All the big dekuna when this katcha like the Meshicha in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. So either you have Meshicha B'Shem and Amishcha endows the Kohen Hedi with the Kedushas Kunu Gedolah, or doing the Avodah of the Shemayim B'Gadim is Mekadoshim. So whatever dinim of Kohen Gadol are a function of the Kedushas Kunu Gedolah, even if you're going to fire the Kohen Gadol later on, he's going to retain those dinim, because the Kedusha is not going to be Paka. Masheni came the dinim of Kohen Gadol that depend on the Shem Kohen Gadol that he was appointed. They gave him this title of Kohen Gadol. So those dinim will only apply kol zman that he has the title. After he'll be nistalek, so he'll no longer have those dinim. So that's what the Gemara apparently says in Yuma Dafayin Gimel. The Mashuach Melchama only has Kedushas Kunu Gedolah, but he doesn't have a Shem Kohen Gadol. There aren't three kinds of Kohanim. It's not that you have a Kohen Hedyot, a Mashuach Melchama, and a Kohen Gadol. You have a Kohen Hedyot, and you have a Kohen Gadol. But you have two aspects to Kohen Gadol. You have Kedushas Kunu Gedolah, and then you have Shem Kohen Gadol, the title. The title, he's Mismana Bepeh, he can be Mistalek Bepeh. So the Mashuach Melchama has one aspect of the Kain Gadol, namely, he has Meshicha B'Shem and Amishchus, he has Kedushas Kunu Gedolah. He doesn't have the Shem Kain Gadol, they never gave him that title. So that's what the Ramban says on Chumash. Maybe that din, that Elozer v'Yisomer were not permitted to be Mitami to their brothers, another Vaviyu, Shiyah Dinam Kemashulch Mechama Kol Yimechayeh, maybe during their whole lives. Why? Kishemin Mishchas Hashem Aleichem. They had Kedushas Kain Gadol, they didn't have the Minui, they weren't appointed with the title of the Shem Kain Gadol, but they had a Kedushas Kunu Gedolah. So maybe during the whole lifetime they had the dinim like a Mashuach Mechama. Whatever dinim depend on Kedushas Kunu Gedolah, they would have to observe. Whatever dinim depend on Shem Kohen Gadol, they wouldn't have to observe, because they were never endowed with the title of Shem Kohen Gadol. I just wanted to run through briefly some of the dinim of Mechama. We have special dinim. Take a look at number 7. Rashi quotes from the Tanoim from the Sifrei, and the opening pasuk in Chumash Bamidbar that the census was to be taken benes mishana v'malo kol yetzi tzava b'Yisrael. So it's clear from the pasuk that the Jewish army is not supposed to draft people younger than the age of 20. That's not exactly what they follow now in Eretz Yisrael. Then Rashi points out in number 8, also from the Tanoim, we learned from the Pesukim that one who is Balmum is not permitted to be drafted into the army. Because you have one pasuk next to the other. It says, by Yedim Zemimim, Ayin B'Yayin, Shein B'Shein, Yad B'Yad, Regal B'Regal. Then it says, Kitzesu La'mocham Aleyvecha. So Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, Samach HaKasav Tzias Mocham Alekan to the Yad B'Yad, Regal B'Regal, Lo'im Aloch Detich, Eim Mechus Rebe Yotza La'mocham. Then you have the Gemara number 9. Years ago, when Ben-Gurion was the Rosh HaMem Shalah, they started the whole tumult about drafting women into the army. So they quote in the name of the Chazon Ish that happened after the Chazon Ish met Ben Gurion. So they say that the Chazon Ish said that Ben Gurion didn't do it. I know him, and he wouldn't do this. This was done by the Shamasim. The Rav didn't know Ben Gurion that well at that time, so he had a whole attack here in Yeshiva against Ben Gurion. Why he violated this international law that you're not allowed to draft women into the army? And he said, I think it was a Yom Ha'atzmaut Rosh, and Lampet Auditorium. So first he was saying how much Hakaras HaTov, we owe Yiddishkeit Hakaras HaTov is so important, the basis of our whole religion. We owe a great debt of gratitude to Ben Gurion for all the wonderful things that he did. Aber. And then he said, but he got carried away with himself, and he thinks that he's God, and he can establish his own religion, and this is absolutely unacceptable to have women drafted into the army. That's not lucky, not allowed to draft women into the army. The shaila is it says by Melchemes Midyon, each shevet had to give elef lamata, shnei moser elef chalutzei tzovo. There were 12,000 soldiers, 1,000 soldiers for each shevet. So the Tanoim have a problem. There were 13 Shvatim, because Yosef was split into two. There was Menashe and Ephraim. So how come there were only 12,000? It should have been 13,000. So either Menashe and Ephraim count as one, or if they count as two, so then obviously you're not drafting anybody from Shevet Levi. So the Rambam, there are two Girsas in the Sifrei, what the Teretz is on the Kasha. So the Rambam in the end of Hilchas Shmita V'Yovel, this is a famous Rambam. Halacha Yud Gimel, and all the Kailalim, everybody quotes this Rambam. Well, O Shevet Levi Bovad, not only Shevet Levi were chosen by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to sit and learn and teach Torah, any person who volunteers to learn in the Kollel and to dedicate his life to Liman HaTorah is not allowed to be drafted in the army. That's what he says. This is a famous Rambam. You don't draft anybody from Shevet Levi. Rashi in his commentary on Chumash quotes the other Girsa from the Sifrei that they did draft Shevet Levi, but Menashe Ephraim counted as one Shevet. So this is a major question, whether this is so, that you don't draft Shevet Levi. Number 11, the Gemara in the Dorm does say that Avraham Avinu was punished because he drafted a Talmid Chochem. You're not allowed to draft Talmid Chochemim into the army if you have enough soldiers without them. Talmid Chochem doesn't mean students in the yeshiva. Talmid Chochem should mean, not every student in the yeshiva is Talmid Chochem. It should mean the rabbis. Maybe. Maybe the rabbis. And Eretz Yisrael is fakir. They don't draft students in the yeshivas, but the rabbeim are drafted. It's fakert from the din. The din is that a Talmid Chacham is not supposed to be drafted into the army. So again, the Rambam's opinion is that Shevet Levi is not drafted. That's not such a, even though it's such a famous Rambam, that's not the generally accepted opinion. It's usually assumed, like Rashi and Chumash writes, that the Levim are drafted into the army. The only question was whether Kohanim are drafted into the army, because when you have an army, you're shooting to kill, and there are going to be dead bodies all over the place, and Kohanim are not permitted to be Metamei LeMeisim. So does it make sense that you draft Kohanim into the army? So this was an issue, Shaila, that the Rishonim people are about. So the Mordechai in Gittin quotes a Gemara in Kiddushin. Gemara in Kiddushin, in the middle of the first parak, talks about the dinim of Yefas Toya. That it says in Chumash that if the Jewish soldier falls in love with the shiksa, so there's a procedure that he has to go through that he should be allowed to marry her. So the Gemara has a shaila. Maybe the heta yifaster is only if the soldier is not a kohen. So the only issue you have is it's you're marrying a nachris, and the geiris, either there is geiris or there's not geiris. Even if there is geiris, it's a geiris balkoch. It's a shvacha conversion over here. So you have only one issue, the serious issue, of marrying a nachris. What if the one who is the soldier in the army is a kohen? So then in addition to the issue of nisuei nachris, you have an issue of zayin l'kohen. So maybe the Torah's heter that we're matir fast Torah to the soldier is only when there's one issue, when there's one isurim involved, not when there are two isurim involved. So Gemara is a whole machlekes, Rabbi Shmuel, what the din should be, whether a kohen is mutar be fast Torah. So the Mordechai in Gittin writes, but if you don't draft Kohanim into the army, because Kohanim are not allowed to be Metamei LeMeisim, so how does the whole Shiva get off the ground? What are you talking about? So obviously they do draft Kohanim into the army. It's enough in a raya from the Gemara. This issue was brought up, if I'm not mistaken, during the First World War in Britain. The Kohanim said that the government is not, it's against their religion, and the British government is not allowed to draft them into the army. So the chief rabbi at that time, I think, was Rabbi Nathan Adler, if I'm not mistaken. So I think he paskin that you do, according to halacha, we do draft Kohanim into the army, and it's an ishkentaina. There is a Shadis Tshuvis, Binyan Shlomo, Barab Shlomo LeVilna, who was a dayan in Vilna towards the late 1800s. In fact, his grandson, Rabbi Markel, Zechar Lerachi, used to teach here in TI, in my time. And he said the family tradition had it that his grandfather, Rabbi Shlomo LeVilna, was the Magia on the Vilna Shas. That we know as a fact. And the end of the Vilna Shas, you have the Cheshik Shlomo Ha'aris, Barab Shlomo LeVilna. So he tells you why he put things in parentheses, why he put in brackets, why he changed things. So it's clear he was the Magia on the Vilna Shas. That's not the family tradition. Family tradition had it that he was Magia. He corrected the galleys on the Vilna Shas from memory. That he knew Gemara Rashi and Tosfos by heart. And he didn't look back at another Gemara to check. He just checked. He knew what it was supposed to say. Just as my comment, that's why once in a while you have a mistake in the Vilna Shas that you don't have in any other editions. And it's a Litvishin mistake. They used to mix up the shins with the samachs. So you have sometimes in a Vilna edition of the Gemara that you have a shin instead of a samach instead of a shin. That's because he corrected it from memory. So this guy, there were two brothers there, Rabbi Shlomo LeVilna and Rabbi Tzal Vilna was the older brother. So Rabbi Tzal LeVilna was apparently the super genius in the family. Rabbi Shlomo LeVilna was only a plain genius. And he always defers to his older brother, Rabbi Tzal. They were both Dayanim in Vilna. In the back of the Vilna Shas, they have Heoris from both, Rabbi Tzal Vilna and Rabbi Shlomo LeVilna. Rabbi Shlomo LeVilna has a sefer, Shadis Yeshuvas Binyan Shlomo. So he has a mafteach, a table of contents. On the table of contents, he writes that he had a whole essay that his brother told him was utterly ridiculous, so he left it out. But he leaves in the table of contents everything that he wrote in the essay. So you don't need the whole essay. So he thought he was a kohen. They were both kohanim. So he thought that you don't drift kohanim into the army. Because the army, they shoot to kill, and there are dead bodies all over the place, so you can't be metamel making. So that was his premise. You draft Shevet Levi, okay, we don't accept the Rambam, but you can't draft Kohanim into the army. So just like women, you don't draft women into the army. So the Sefer HaChinuch writes that women are not mechuyev to hear Parsha Zohar. Only men who are mechuyev to serve in the army are mechuyev to hear Parsha Zohar. Women are not mechuyev to serve. Shlomo LeVilna thought Kohanim are also not drafted into the army, so Kohanim are not mechuyev to hear Parsha Zohar. Then we have a rule, Mishenim mechuyev b'dover, and Imotzi Yaserav Midech Aros, and if the best paltekeya and shul is a woman, so the Mishnah says she can't, Acherish Haytavikotin, Anisha, Anakum, even though they're the best paltekeya, they can't be Motzi the Tzibur, because Mishenim mechuyev b'dover, and Imotzi Yaserav Midech Aros. So he said if the Balkari and shul on Parsha Zohar is a Koyin, Toitnish, because the Koyin is not like a woman. It's not mechuyev in Parsha Zohar, so Kohen is not mechuyev in Parsha Zohar either. So this is what he wrote in the Sefer. So his brother told him he should leave it out, it's utterly ridiculous. So he listened to his brother, but he leaves in the table of contents what that simon, what his brother told him to leave out. So apparently his brother thought that that you do draft Kohanim into the army. That's what it's usually assumed. You do draft Kohanim into the army. There is a Mishnah in the end of the first Perek in Eridin. It's number 12 in the list of Mar Mekaymas. Where the Mishnah has a din, Abo Dvarim Potra Bamachane. When you have a battalion of Jewish soldiers all together, so they have special dinim kulas midirabon. All of these four dinim are midir. One is Hefker, there's Nefker, one is Gezel. Special dinim midirabon. So the Rabbeinu Hananel on the side of the page there, number 13 in the Mar Mekaymas, quotes from the Yerushalmi, Bekamahe Machane. How many soldiers do you need to be together in one location that it should have the status of a machane? So there are different opinions. So one opinion is 10 soldiers. If you have 10 soldiers, why? Because it says, machane elokim. Machane elokim. You have a minion for Dovah Shebikdusha. So just like 10 people constitute a minion for Dovah Shebikdusha, so too you'd need 10 soldiers. Next opinion is you need 12,000 soldiers together. Then there's a third opinion. So the Magen Mishnah writes on the Rambam that the generally accepted opinion is that you need 10 soldiers. The Chazon Ish, on that Mishnah, Chazon Ish has an Orech Ayin. So he has comments on Maseches Erevin. So most of the comments are on Erevin aspects. But on this Mishnah, he has a comment on Mochama aspects. So he writes that, called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kein the Reis of Tikkun. That Mishnah speaks about Dinam de Rabbanan, but you have to wash them till it's Yadayim, to Mai, Erevei Chatzeres, and a din of Hefke Bez Nehefke, they can take logs from anybody. So that's a special din that applies to the Machne Yisrael. And Yerushalmi had the three opinions as to how many soldiers they need together, how many soldiers in one battalion that should have the status of a Machne. And he says, the Magen Mishnah says, the accepted opinion is 10. So he says, he thinks, v'nira, the first line in that chazanish, the gam linya mitzvus yat yelecha lazinecha, the halacha that the soldiers have to have nikoyim nikius hamakim, they should be careful for erev and soyim, eraglayim, this only applies if you have 10 soldiers together, shir machne asor. And he says that he thinks, it doesn't mean that that's the whole army. No, the army, you have thousands of soldiers all over the place, but you have to have 10 soldiers near each other. How close is near? How close do they have to be? He raises the question. The Efshir, he has the last line in the first paragraph. The Efshir, the Shir Tziruf Hachivim Ama B'Shirayim K'Shir Tziruf Ir. That's a little bit, I find that a little bit startling, but that's what he suggests. That Tosis points out, Shivim Ama B'Shirayim seems to be a Shir Deraisa. How close the homes have to be to each other that they should be Mitztar from Yachat to be considered a city. I always thought that that's a din in geography and location. The houses have to be attached to the ground within, but people walking around should be within Shivim. I didn't understand why it should be Mitztar. But that's what the Chazanish says. It's based on this Chazanish that later Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael say, let's say there are 10 people having a picnic, and they want to daven mincha, they want to have chazaras hashatza. How close do they have to be to each other that they should be mitzvah from to a minyan? Or an Israeli army, let's say. They have soldiers spread out. How close do the soldiers have to be to each other that they should be mitzvah from to a minyan? So the din is, if you have 10 people in a room, the room is mitzvah from. You have 9 people in one room, 9 people in the other room, then it says they're not mitzvah from. A lot of times in the Beis Avol you have like that. You have 18 people, but you don't have 10 people in one room. You have 9 people in one room, 9 people in another room. So the Mishnah Berurah says that they're not mitzvah from Yachad. So, but what if they're not in any room at all? What if they're just on al pnei hasodah? So how close do they have to be? So the reason poskim say, based on this chazanish, shivim ama b'shirayim is the shir. He talks about being mitzvah people together. Then he has an interesting comment. He says, we assume that the machaneh, for the purpose of the soldiers, he says, he thinks b'negeh to the din deraisa, b'negeh to the din derabbanan. The din of machne has to have 10 people, because you learn that from the pasuk machane elikim, the pasuk in Dibra Yomim that Rabbi Nachmanana quoted from the Talmud Yerushalmi. So he thinks that anyone who's not mitztaref to a minion wouldn't be mitztaref to the minion over here. Let's say you have people in the Israeli army who are not maminim; they don't believe in God, they don't believe in Torah. Then if you only have 9 people who are maminim and the 10th one is not for the maminim, near the haminim she'ena mitzar from us and lasor the davar shebikdusha ein mashlim lasor shal machane, because the pasuk says why machanecha kodesh hanse v'yir b'cha eras davar v'shok ke Hashem alakach mesalach dekera machanecha lahatzilecha v'losis avecha biyadecha why machanecha kodesh. The Jewish army has a status of a davar shebikdusha, even though they're not davening, even though they're not learning. They're not saying Kaddish Kedush and Baruch, just the Jewish army has the status of Avodah Kedusha. Why? Because the Shechina promises that it's going to be there. Just like the Shechina is there if you have 10 people who are mitzvah from La Asara, so the Jewish army has the status of Avodah Kedusha for Nikoy and Hamakam and so on, only if the people are Maminim who are mitzvah from to a minyan. And then he concludes, he thinks that it only has the status of a machane, only has a special din of a machane if it's an army that's sponsored by the Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. Stam, let's say the British government has a Jewish legion. So that doesn't have the din of Machne Yisrael. Only you have to have a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara at the beginning of Rosh Hashanah speaks about different governments, al-Pidin. There's a Malchus Yisrael and there's a Malchus Ulmas Oilam. So someone has to determine whether the government in Eretz Yisrael has a status of Malchus Yisrael and Malchus Ulmas Oilam. So if it has the status of Malchus Yisrael, they weren't appointed by the Sanhedrin. They weren't appointed by any Novi. So the question, but they were chosen, they were elected by the people. So how fair was the election? Okay. So the question is whether it has the status of Malchus Yisrael. So if it doesn't have the status of Malchus Yisrael, then the Israeli army is not going to have the status of Machne Yisrael. But if the government in Eretz Yisrael does have the status of Malchus Yisrael, then the army can have the status of Machne Yisrael. One of the dinim in the army is the din of Kadli de Chazeri. That's a Gemara in Chulin, Daf Yud Zayin Amid Aleph. The Gemara says, based on the Pasuk in Chumash, in Dvarim, chapter Vav, that when the Jewish people will conquer Eretz Yisrael, so they will take Botim Lein Koltuv HaShalom Boris Chatzuv Mashalo Chatzavta Kromim Mezeis HaMashalo Natata Botim Lein Koltuv HaShalom Ileis HaVeyachalta V'Savata. We will eat the food in their freezers that the Nochem will have in Eretz Yisrael, and we'll drink the wine that they have, and we'll eat all the pears and everything. So what's if the food in the freezers is nevelus the treifas? So it would appear from the pasuk that you're permitted to eat kagi the chazer, you can eat the ham that they have there. So the Gemara has a shaila. In the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, the laws of Shechita were not the way we have today. It was sufficient with Nechiras Simonim and Atzav, Nechiras Zui Shechitas. So let's say they had packaged meat from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's a vacuum packed. It says, under the Hashgach, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moran Shlita, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Nishchat, Hudach, Venimlach, everything 100%. Then they have this package, they come in Eretz Yisrael. And after they come in Eretz Yisrael, then the laws of Shechita changed. Now you need Hilcha Shechita, and you have to share. So the Shaila is, but this was Geshochten under the auspices of Moshe Rabbeinu. So you're not allowed to eat it, because the laws change. It's in the middle. You pulled out the rug from underneath. The laws change. You're not allowed to eat it. Or should I say no? The Gemara has boy rab zera a sofik evarei b'sar nechira shechnisi yisrael ha'aretz. Is it mutter to eat it or not? In the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, it was mutter. So it has Moshe Rabbeinu's hashgacha. Maybe now that the laws change, maybe you're not allowed to eat it. Maybe you are allowed to eat it. So the Gemara is not sure. They buy the loiv shita. That's what the Rashi asks. All the Rishonim ask. May the have happen? What is the Gemara clearing a hakira? There's none of that meat left today from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Rosh has a whole nafkamina. If the Bez makes a gzeira on the Gvina Sakam and someone has some Gvina Sakam left over, is it Rosh-Atid or not? The famous Rosh there. So the Rambam, when he quotes this din in number 15, the Rambam writes, Chalutzi Tzovo, the Jewish soldiers, Kishi Konsa B'Gvul Ha'akum, V'Yishba Mehem, Mutalhem lech on the velus the treifas b'sar chaziva kayetz, but they're permitted to eat the non-kosher food. He doesn't say it's only when they're conquering Eretz Yisrael. The original pasuk of Chumash in Dvarim chapter 12 is when they're conquering Eretz Yisrael. The Rama says chalutzi tzova when they're waging war they can eat non-kosher food. But then he writes the number one he writes any war. Number two he writes im yirav alay motza mayochal ela machol aseilu asur. Only if he's hungry, you have no better food to eat. If he has kosher food available, he's not allowed to eat. And then the Rambam writes, V'chein shoysa yai nesach, he's permitted to drink yai nesach. The Rambam's opinion is, in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, as well as the Mishnah Torah, that yai nesach is an isa deraisa. Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs is not so convinced. He thinks maybe the whole yai nesach is in gansim mid the Rabbana. Today, we talk about stam yeinam, wine that's manufactured by Nocher. So stam yeinam for sure is only mid the Rabbana. But the Shaila is, what about yai nesach mamash that was poured la by the Zorah? So the Rambam holds that that's an Issa Derais, and nonetheless he says over here that it's permissible for the soldiers to drink Yai Nesach. So the Ramban in number 16, the Ramban on that Pasuk, in chapter Vav and Dvarim, quotes this Rambam. Then he says, Ve'en Zanach, and he thinks that the Rambam is wrong on three accounts. He says, the Rambam says only, in Yira V'lei Matzah Mayochad Ala Macholos Elu Hasurim, only if he's hungry. He said, what is it, Hepta Pikuach Nefesh? He doesn't think that it's correct. And he thinks, number two, it doesn't apply to every melchama, but lo b'chol chalutzi tzava, lo b'eretz Yisrael only. In the second line he says. And then he says, number three, Yai Nesach. Yai Nesach is not macholos asuris. Yai Nesach is hashalaf and abadizore. That's a different issue. So he disagrees with all three points of the Rambam. He thinks that it's not correct. The Maritz Chayis, number 17 in the Maram comes, Maritz Chayis refers you to the Parashas Drochem, that's the Sefer of the Mishnah HaMelech, and in Yoni Agoda, and Agadete, and Drush, where the Mishnah Melech points out that the Rambam is against the Gemara. The Gemara had the suffix, Eivrei b'sar nechira shechnisu yisrael ha'aretz, is a muta to eat or not. Because under Moshe Rabbeinu's supervision, they shechted and it was kosher. It was kosher geshocht in the flesh. And now we changed the dinim. So is it also to eat the flesh and muta? So the Gemara asks, L'may nafkemina, you can even eat kadli the chazeri. You can even eat chazer. So what's the difference whether this is kosher or not kosher? Even if it's not kosher, it's still muta. You can eat non-kosher food. But according to the Rambam, that kadli the chazeri to eat the ham is only muta kishira ve'ilam ayachal. Only if they're starving, have nothing else to eat. So chaptanaf gemina. What if they have the food? They have kosher food available. So they don't have the head to kadli the chazeri. Are they permitted to eat? Are they permitted to eat the flesh that they have left over from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu before they came over, before they crossed over the yard? So from the simple reading of the Gemara, it would appear that you don't need this condition of Kishir Adein Lamayach. That's the Parashas Drach, and yes, Akashi says the whole sugya is against the Rambam. So the Maritz Chayis suggests that maybe that's exactly what the Gemara answered. The Gemara asked Akasha, what's an afkamina, whether you're allowed to eat it or not, they can even eat chazer. So the Gemara says, no, they had to eat chazer, is only chazer from the goyim. You'll find bottom lane kultuva shalom ilaysa, kramim mezesa, mishalona taita, and so on. That's only mishalahem. But mishalona does not have to eat non kosher. What does that mean? So he says, that's exactly what the answer of the Gemara was. That if you look, he says, if you look in the Rambam, number 15 in the Marmakomis, he has halacha aleph and halacha beis, one next to the other, and halacha beis begins with the word v'chein. So the Rambam says, you have heta kadei l'chazer, the soldiers are permitted to eat non-kosher food, and then he says, v'chein, and similarly, we have a heta boi elisha b'giyusa in tkofa yitzra, etc. The heta of yifastayr is similar to the heta kadei l'chazer. So the heta yifastayr is only to take a goyisha yifastayr. What is going to fall in love with the stam? An eshes ish, a Jewish girl who's baking in the army. He's not going to take a Jewish girl. The heta yifastayr is only a nokris. So the Rambam put it like that, one next to the other, to imply that the heta kadei l'chazer is only mishalahem. That's what the Gemara said in Chulin. And similarly, the heta yifastayr is only mishalahem. So once in a havamina that the Gemara thought kadei l'chazer is heta gomur, so they thought it's even mishalana what's muta. But then the Gemara says, no, it's only mishalahem. So once the Gemara gives the answer, it's only mishalahem, means that it's similar to yifastayr. So yifastayr is only, yifastayr is not a heta gomur, it's only if kishit kofa yitzray. If he can control his Yetzirah, then there's no heta. The Gemara says, "Lidiber Tola Keneged Yetzirah." If the soldier can't control himself, then there's a heta Yifastor. So similarly, the heta of Kadlei Chazer is also only Kishet Kofa Yitzirah. If he's starving, and he's nervous about it, what he need a special pasuk? So that's Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh Avad is Deicha. So the answer is that the pasuk is telling us that although it's the soldier himself is not really nervous, he doesn't think that he's going to die. Nonetheless, the halacha considers it, if he's hungry, doesn't have any food to eat, the halacha considers it like bikuach nefesh. Under these circumstances, the halacha considers it like bikuach nefesh. So that's why the Rambam says it's mutter in all situations. Chalutz yitzovik shikonsu begvul ha'akum is not only kibush eretz yisrael. Rabban holds that it's a special hat that has nothing to do with bikuach nefesh. But the Rambam holds not that it's an extension of the din, it's a broadening out of the din of bikuach nefesh. Not only if you really think that this is Safik Sakana, even if the soldiers are not concerned. The halacha considers it on the, if he's hungry, that's called the Safik Pikuach Nefesh, and that's why it's true in any Milchama, and that's why it's even Mutter Yayin Esach, because it's considered Pikuach Nefesh. Not like the Ramban said, it's a Heter Amacholos Asurus. No, it's a Heter Vibchinas Pikuach Nefesh. It's on the Kishira Vein Lamayachal. They tell over the story that Professor Yeshaya Leibowitz was in one of the wars. Probably one of the early wars, the one who just died a few years ago. So they didn't have enough kosher food for all of the soldiers. So they said the religious people should eat the kosher food, and those that don't keep kosher, they should eat the non-kosher food. So he said, no, he wants to eat the kadli l'chazer. It's permissible to eat. He's allowed to eat kadli l'chazer. So this is against the Rambam. The Rambam says that it's only muti kishira vein lamayochel. If you don't have kosher food, if you have kosher food, so then the heter does not apply. This summer, in the middle of the middle of the war, so they wrote up in all the newspapers that the soldiers didn't have enough food to eat. So then when they finally delivered the food in the middle of the 9 days, they gave them fleshes. So my son-in-law said, he's not going to eat. Well, a lot of religious folks said, they're not going to eat the fleshes. So Rabbanim had to impress upon them, you have to eat the fleshes. Even though you don't feel that there's a suffix sakana, but you're supposed to be protecting the whole country. He was in Syria. These guys are in Syria, Lebanon. I mean, they were in Lebanon, and they're not going to eat the fleshings in the 9 days. Then they didn't want to fast. They wanted to fast on Tisha B'Av. So they had a psak from the chief rabbi. They're not supposed to fast on Tisha B'Av. So they didn't want to follow the psak of the chief rabbi. What do you mean? It's the chasofik sakon. If they're going to be half asleep in the middle of the job, so they're going to lose the war. That's what the Rambam says. Whenever it comes to soldiers in the army, any slight discomfort is considered a suffix sakon, and you have to be matur. All of these sur, kalachaim of fleishiks in the 9 days, that's a double partial like that. Let me just close. One of the dinim in the army is that mihu yisha yori verach aleva, one who is balavera, yori me'avera shebiyodai, is not taken into the army if it's a mochemes or a shus. A mochemes mitzvah is taken. So they write in the recent Svarim that in the Valojani Yeshiva on Purim they used to put on a skit, like in Yeshiva. So a lot of times they make fun of the Netziv. So on one occasion they're making fun of, they had a lot of maskilim, because they didn't allow the Jews to go to university. So the only place that they would go with any intellectual excitement would be in the Valojani Yeshiva. So in the later years of Alojan, where they had all the maskilim there, so they once put on a skit on Purim, the way they have a war board, and the people were drafted into the army, and it started interrogating everybody. So this one once spoke Lashon Hara, they don't take him into the army. This guy, this Haver, that Haver. They don't take anybody in the army. So the whole army consists of three people: the Shagasari, the Vilna Goyen, and the Netziv. So everybody, that was the end of the whole skit. The whole Arichas, and then everybody was rolling on the floor. It was so funny. So the Netziv was sitting on his chair and watching the whole thing. He says, "Nu, so what's the end of the story?" So I said, "That's the end of the whole skit." He says, "No, the punchline is that we won the war."